Shantipats, this is the one that's usually connected with the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Translation of it, something like this. Om, may the Lord protect the two of us. That's the teacher and the student. May he protect both of us. May he give us both success. May he give us power. Power to successfully prosecute this study. May he make our attempt at learning effective, Tejasvi. May we not become inimical one against another. Shanti, shanti, peace. Okay. So we begin with the very first verse. You can follow in your translations. Om Vamavadino Vadanti Kim Karanam Brahma Kutatsma Jata Jivama Kena Kwacha Sampratishta Adishtita Tena Suketareshu Vartamahe Vamavido Vyavastam. Translation. Some sages who were seriously inclined to discuss the Supreme Truth asked, O knowers of the Supreme, what is Brahman, the cause of this world? From what were we born? What sustains our life? To what do we return after death? And by what arrangement are we made to live in unhappiness? Okay, so that's the first verse. We have two commentaries. I have access to two commentaries on this Upanishad, published by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Sri Bhakti Swarup Siddhanti Maharaj. There's the commentary from the Sri Sampradaya, from the followers of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya himself, although he discussed the Upanishads in various of his works, he didn't write separate commentaries on the particular Upanishads. 500 years later, Sri Ranga Ramanuja, one of the Acharyas following him, wrote commentaries on 15 or 16 different Upanishads, including Shvetashvatara. So we're going to use Ranga Ramanuja's commentary, and that was published because previously there was no commentaries on the Upanishads written by any followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada's godbrother published the old commentary from the Sri Sampradaya, and one godbrother of his in the Gaudiya Math, a pandit named Nitya Gopal Panchatirtha, wrote a commentary recently that's published in this edition. So I'm also referring to his commentary. So we'll take advantage of both their ideas. So, okay, in this verse, according to Ranga Ramanuja, he comments that in the beginning of this chapter, the purpose of the discussion is to identify what is Brahman, the absolute truth. Because the word Brahman is used all the time in the Upanishads. It comes from the root brim, which means to increase or become full, complete. The absolute, complete truth is called Brahman. The whole basic assumption of the Upanishads is that there's an absolute unity in existence. There's one absolute truth that unifies everything. So this Upanishad begins with the question, what actually is that Brahman? This is spoken, it says, by the Brahmavadis. These sages, renounced sages, sannyasis, were sitting together, and they started discussing among one another, just as equals. And they raised these questions, all in reference to what is the identity of the Absolute Truth. So here in this context, we're not questioning, these sages are not questioning, is there an Absolute Truth? Is there one reality, ultimate reality? That they're assuming. They're going beyond that question to the more essential question of what is the nature of that Absolute Truth? Assuming there is Brahman, what is that Brahman? And they also, the way they speak, they're assuming that Brahman is something beyond spirit and matter as we know them. This visible world has an ultimate cause beyond what is visible. And even the living entity is not the ultimate cause. So one way of phrasing their basic question is, who is that Brahman? What devata, what demigod, what god is the Absolute? And the second half of the verse, first of all, the first question is, what is the cause of everything? And then, secondly, not only everything material, all the elements, and everything visible, but also we, the living entities, what is our origin, specifically? And what sustains us in our existence? Assuming that we're not capable of creating ourselves or sustaining ourselves, there's something beyond us, apparently, that is our origin and our source of maintenance. And then third, fourth question, kvacha sampratishta. So here the word sampratishta, although sometimes the word can mean support, but that question's already been asked. With the support of what do we live? Jivama kena. So when it's asked again, kvacha sampratishta, another meaning of the word has to be taken. Sampratishta also means the final destination of something, or that into which something is dissolved. So where do we go? Where does everything go after annihilation? And then another more ethical question is asked in the second half of the verse. Why do we have to suffer in this existence? What is it that makes us suffer unhappiness? Or in the poetic expression given here, by what arrangement are we made to live in unhappiness? Okay, so any other commentary? The question is, what is the sarup of Brahman? What is the identity of the Absolute Truth? This Absolute Truth, we can understand, is the basic cause of existence in two ways. It's the immediate effective cause, the intelligence that impels creation. But it's also the raw ingredients of creation. It's the intelligence, the living force, that produced this world. But it's also the matter, or the substance out of which the world is created. So Brahman is understood here. It's assumed. The sages who are asking the questions are assuming Brahman is both the effective and ingredient cause of creation. What is called nimitta karanam and upadana karanam, or the active agent person, if you want to say, that arranges creation, that impels it by his desire, and also the raw ingredients, the substance out of which the world is created. Brahman is both of these. Okay. Another way to phrase the question, alternately, is, well, is Brahman really the cause of creation? We have the concept of the Absolute Truth, the one underlying reality. But that absolute reality is transcendental, is spiritual. Is that same Brahman also the cause of the material creation? Brahman is perfect. This world is imperfect. So does Brahman really have a connection with this world? Is it really the creator? Or is something else the cause of creation? In the next verse, the sages are going to speculate on this point. Maybe something else is the cause of creation. Like, for example, time. Or the material, or material nature itself. Well, objection is raised here, theoretically. The Shruti, the Shastra says, Brahman is the cause, according to the authority of the scripture. As it states in the Taittiriya Upanishad, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. And as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadyasa yataha. Brahman is that from which everything takes its birth. That is stated in scripture. So if we accept the authority of the Vedic scripture, why do we even question? So here the objection is, why should we even raise this question? Is Brahman the cause? We should, or something else? So the answer is, yes, there's no reason to ask, but people ask anyway. People doubt that the absolute truth is the cause of everything. So we have to raise these doubts and discuss them, even though they're not reasonable. And someone could argue, theoretically, Brahman is purely spiritual. This world is material. Brahman isn't supposed to have any activity. It's supposed to be changeless. Activity means changing, moving from one place to another, or changing your shape. It's some sort of transformation. So Brahman doesn't change. That means Brahman should mean that Brahman doesn't have any activity, and Brahman shouldn't produce any products, any fruits, like a tree or a human being that has a child. That's a transformation. Brahman doesn't change, so Brahman shouldn't produce any products either. Therefore, Brahman can't be the cause of material creation. The absolute truth cannot be the cause of creation. That argument can be given, theoretically. So therefore, to answer that kind of theoretical argument, even though it's wrong, even though it's unfounded, still, to answer those kinds of doubts, the question should be raised, what actually is the cause of creation? Is it Brahman or something else? And then the question in the second half is, Brahman is sukhatmaka. It's fully blissful. Brahman suffers no unhappiness. The absolute truth is pure bliss. So if Brahman is the cause of our existence, and Brahman sustains our existence, why are we unhappy? If we come from the supremely happy, and we're maintained by the supremely happy, why aren't we happy? Why are we unhappy? That seems to make the absolute truth, you can say the absolute truth is cruel and biased, because one person enjoys, another person suffers. So there's different degrees of enjoyment and suffering. Brahman is cruel to make anyone suffer, and he's unfair to let someone enjoy relatively in comparison to another person. So all these questions are there. These sages are expressing these doubts. They may be expressing their own doubts or just speaking for the benefit of others. In any case, we have to give them credit. They're following the proper process. They're asking questions. And we will see in two verses that although they begin by speculating, one of the sages among them, named Shvetashvatara, proves to be more realized than the others, and they accept him as authority. And from that point on, he speaks his realizations and they listen. So they're following the proper process. They have doubts, but they raise them in a proper assembly. And when there's a person available who has authority who can answer the questions, they accept his authority and they hear him out. That is the method of Upanishadic education. The word Upanishad means Upanishad. To sit, shad means to sit down. Nishad means to sit down. And upa means near. So when a disciple approaches a spiritual master, and not only does some puja and asks for some blessings, but he sits down He asks some serious questions, and he stays sitting and sits out patiently and listens to the answers. That's Upanishad. Okay, just looking at the verse quickly, looking at the structure of the verse poetically, just at some of the words here. Kim karanam brahma. This is referring to the list of repetitions, so the echoes, these numbers on the top and the whole section here. First of all, this word Brahman is going to be repeated again in 20 different verses. There's 113 verses altogether in the Upanishad. 20 of those verses again use the same word Brahman. So this idea of the absolute truth is repeated over, it's a basic theme of the Upanishad. And the way Brahman or the Absolute is described over and over again, his qualities are described. Brahman is not being characterized as having no qualities, no form, not in this Upanishad. And very often, in the same verses where the Absolute Truth is called Brahman, which we sometimes think means the impersonal conception of the Supreme, that same Brahman, in the same verses, is also called Deva, the personality of Godhead. So the word Brahman is not being used here to exclusively mean impersonal conception of the Supreme. It is the Absolute Truth not excluding his personality. That is also included. And continuing here. Okay, this word jata, the question was, from what are we born? What are we, the living entities, born from? So the word jata is there. That idea will be repeated again too. Later in the second chapter, there's some mention about how Brahma took birth, four-headed Brahma, from Lord Vishnu, and how the other demigods and living entities took their births at the beginning of creation. And that's also repeated again in the fourth chapter. This question, first question, Kim Karanam, what is the basic cause of creation? Karanam. There's going to be three times that question is directly answered. In verse 3, in the beginning of Shvetashvata, or the beginning of the description of the sages' realization in their meditation, there is a first answer to that in verse 1-3. And then at the end, in the last chapter, in verses 9 and 16, and 13 rather, the question, what is the basic cause of creation, will be directly answered again in the sixth chapter. Okay. Then these sages are called Brahmavadis. And then in the verse, they address themselves as Brahmavit, knowers of Brahman. Brahmavadi means one who is seeking after Brahman, looking for the Absolute Truth. And Brahmavit means someone who knows the Absolute Truth. So this is an important idea. Theme, one who knows the Absolute Truth, he will become immortal. He's successful in life. And certainly that's the person you should approach for knowledge and guidance, the Brahmavit. So this theme, or this word, vid, vidaha, the knower of the truth, this is also repeated in 21 different verses. Ramanujacharya, in his philosophy, emphasizes the idea that transcendental knowledge and devotion are the same. They're not separate processes. Transcendental knowledge, when it's perfected, becomes devotional service. Okay, that's the first verse. We'll have to move on because I took a little too much time on it. Okay, so after we'll do five verses today if we can manage, and then we'll have a little time for questions. So second verse. Kalam svabhavo niyatirya dhritcha bhutani yonik purusha inti chintyam samyoga esham natvatma bhavad Atmapyanisha sukaduka hetoho. Okay, so the sages are still speaking to each other. We can only speculate that maybe time is this cause, or else the laws of nature, or rather the laws of the universe, or fate, or chance, or the physical elements, or Mother Nature, or the soul who enjoys her. Since the living soul exists, the cause of creation cannot be merely the combination of material factors. But the soul himself also cannot be the creator of happiness and distress. Okay, so there are various... the sages here are presenting the ideas that different kinds of people have. There are people who believe in different philosophies, and they have different ideas of what the cause of creation is. Ramanujacharya comments that there are people who believe as their philosophy that time is the cause of everything. There are other people, the Lokayatikas, or the materialists who follow Charvaka Muni, or similar materialistic, anti-spiritualist spiritual philosophies. They say that everything in the world has its own intrinsic nature. There's no external cause. Fire is hot because that's the way fire is. There's no intelligence, there's no higher